That's a bullet. Good for him. He's very well deserving of that. He's a guy that comes in every day with a it's probably doesn't really look like it. He's always kind of stone faced, but he comes in with great energy. He's a fun guy to be around. It's a hell of a goal. It's a rocket. So it's great for him. I think if there's a camera on our bench, seeing how our whole bench reacted to that goal, everyone really went nuts. So he does mean a lot to this team. It's great for him to get his first one out of the way.
Wasn't that great, AB? Just the reaction of the bench when Timothy Liljegren was able to pot his first NHL goal on Saturday. I couldn't believe it was his first goal for some reason. I don't know why.
I know. Neither
could Julie Sherry, Al's brother. Yeah, seriously, when you get some... He was super animated on Saturday night, too. Sometimes I'm like, oh, I wish we had video so we can just, like, use Sheldon Keefe memes for the entirety.
Well, that penalty...
I was going to say 1 hour, but we have 2 hours today.
Well, when Morgan Riley took that penalty late, the puck over glass, there was a couple of words that he mouthed that we can't quite say on air, but he's just like, you've got to be kidding me. Like, really? We're trying to buckle
so
down this
animated.
One goal lead? I know, it was insane. But no, Timothy Liljegren.
Okay, we're keeping it positive. We're talking about Timothy Liljegren's first NHL goal. Let's bring in Josh Cloak from The Athletic to break it down. Josh, just said it, picked up his first NHL goal over the weekend. It was 4 years after he was drafted by the Maple Leafs. And it's been a long road for Timothy Liljegren, but he's really established himself this season. He looks about 45 years old. He plays like a grizzled vet in the NHL sometimes. And he looks good in the top four with Hall out. What did you make of his play alongside Jake Muzzin?
Yeah, probably a little bit overdue, right? You know, he's a player that's kind of been bounced in and out of the lineup. And I mean, you might be asking the wrong person here, because I'm of the belief that, you know, young players deserve a lot of opportunity, and young players, you know, especially when, you know, when other players are out of the lineup, I don't think, you know, it should just be a matter of, well, we have this young defenseman, let's put him in the bottom pair just because, right? I think Timothy Liljegren has shown this season, you know, A, that the talent that was evident when he was drafted is still there. But what he's long lacked is just an opportunity, and having, you know, a coaching staff, a group of people around him that believe in him, right? It can get kind of demoralizing, I think, for a player to, you know, kind of come be a high draft pick, and then kind of, you know, you spend your first probably 2 years in the AHL, you know, deserve two seasons kind of learning the ropes in North American pro hockey. And then, you know, you see other kind of, you see, you know, the Leafs trading for a player like Ben Hutton, and you're kind of like, well, when's my opportunity going to come, right? Because he had done everything that was asked of him in the AHL, right? He logged heavy minutes, he played special teams. So to me, it was just a kind of a showcase of, you know, what a player can do when everybody around him believes in him. And I think that's been evident all season. He kind of had a good first few games, and he showed that, like, this season he can kind of, he has the processing speed to play in the NHL. And maybe that's what was lacking over his first few stints in the NHL. And look, it's important to have that kind of belief of all the people around you. Because maybe that belief wasn't evident, you know, last season or two seasons ago when he had his stints, but it seems to be clicking now. And I don't know why, you know, he shouldn't get maybe another opportunity in the, you know, in the top four, right?
Yeah, I would think so. I mean, especially when you look at the way that pairing has kind of fallen off, when you think of what we expected of them going into the season of Hall and Muzzin. So if Timothy Liljegren is ready to take that step, and for a guy who's young and you know, you can get him still at a relatively cheap rate, I think the Maple Leafs should definitely look at that going forward.
Well, I mean, this has just been a hallmark of Sheldon Keefe kind of since he took over, and maybe it's kind of dissipated, you know, lately, but he was never afraid when he took over the job to just try things, right?
Yeah,
throw forward lines in the blender. Just tinker, just try. I mean, ultimately what you're working towards is the postseason, right? And if you can kind of play mad scientist in the games leading up to it and find something that works, I mean, I think it's pretty evident to anybody that's watched even a few periods of the Leafs this year that, you know, the Muzzin-Hall pairing isn't working, and it worked so well last year, but I don't know, you know, they bought a lot of faith, and that faith was extended to them throughout the early part of the season. But at some point you just have to say, we got to try something different here. right? And maybe, you know, both of those players work their way back up. But I think, you know, it's the NHL. And if Timothy Liljegren and Rasmus Sandin are both showing, like, look, these are players that are deserving of top 4 minutes, you know, they've been well-seasoned in the AHL. I don't know why. And these are two players that, you know, it should be noted as well, probably have a future with the Leafs' blue line well beyond that of Jake Muzzin. So why not give him a shot? You know, I'm a believer in just trying, you know, different things. I mean, Nick Ritchie looked to be, you know, he was the first line left winger out of the gate. And then, you know, they realized that didn't work. Joe Thornton was the first line left winger out of the gate last year, and that didn't work. And then they tried things, and, you know, they found Michael Bunting to be a great first line left winger. Zach Hyman, obviously great first line left winger last year. I kind of don't know what's taken so long for the Leafs to do that this year. But again, it's, if you're Sheldon Keefe, it's kind of a good problem to have, right? Given the way that Timothy Liljegren has been playing.
Yeah, it's really a great story for his development. And, you know, you've been tracking him for quite some time here. And this weekend, you wrote a really nice piece in The Athletic about how the Marlies have kind of changed their approach to development of their AHL prospects. Bit more of an emphasis on rookies and prioritizing their development. Take us through that article and why you think there's been an organizational shift here.
I think it's just kind of the next step in the process of focusing on development, which is something that the Leafs have kind of long focused on under Kyle Dubas. But you look at some of the changes that the Marlies underwent this season. They hired Greg Moore a few years ago out of the Chicago Steel, you know, when Sheldon Keefe moves up to the Leafs. And this season and in the offseason, they hired Ryan Hardy, who was the general manager of the Chicago Steel, a USHL team that, you know, does things a little differently and prioritizes development the same. And they always have a lot of, you know, draft picks coming out of that program. And this year, what we've seen, I mean, going into the season, I think the Marlies expected to have Michael Amadio and Adam Brooks in the lineup. But what they decided to do was give Leafs draft picks, who are rookies in the AHL, a lot of playing time, not just token kind of third line minutes. You know, Mikhail Abramov and Semyon Dergard Guchintsev, I still struggle with that name. Those two guys are AHL rookies, you know, both Leafs draft picks, and they've played more games than any other Marlies forward. And you can add Philip Kroll, who's a fourth round pick in 2019. He's played more games than any other Marlies defenseman. So I think what the Marlies are trying this year is saying, look, the Leafs, you know, had a lot of draft picks in 2018, 2019. They went all in on skill. You know, after kind of letting these guys season in the juniors, why don't we really see what we have in them? And they can kind of make the mistakes, you know, and kind of learn, I guess, on the fly, a bit of trial by fire. And it's an interesting time to do it, because if you're the Marlies, you've got no fans in the stands, and the Marlies aren't dependent, you know, on gate revenue the way other AHL teams are. They're, you know, essentially supported by the Leafs, and they're kind of deep pockets. So it's a good opportunity to just try this, right? And this is kind of what I was talking about before. This organization shouldn't be afraid to try things. And there's been a lot of ups and downs. You know, Mikhail Abramov is an insanely skilled player, but he gets muscled off the puck quite often. And SDA, you know, a smaller player, has really had to learn about the difficulties of, you know, what is a penalty and what isn't a penalty in AHL. But when it works, we're seeing these young players really thrive in playing either the top line or second line center roles. So I like that idea, because you get a much clearer picture of who these players are. So, you know, maybe next year, 2 years from now, when it comes time, you know, for if there's injuries with the Leafs and the Leafs are saying, well, who should we bring up? You have a really big sample size with these players to say, well, is Mikhail Abramov ready for a look? Is SDA ready for a look? And you can kind of accurately say yes or no, instead of saying, I don't know, he's played, you know, 30 games of kind of fourth line minutes while we were just kind of easing him along. I think the AHL is a league that should prioritize development, and it's pretty clear the Leafs are really kind of moving in that direction.
So in saying all that, Josh, you've been paying attention to the Marlies a lot lately. If you had to power rank Leafs prospects at the AHL level in terms of NHL readiness, who would crack your top three?
Oh, that's an excellent question. You're putting me on the spot. I love
it. I'm sorry.
I know he played games already, but I'm a big Christian Rubens backer. I mean, I think his ceiling ultimately is you know, a bottom pair defenseman, but, you know, he's an undrafted player. And he, again, fits the mold of this kind of three-tiered development that the Leafs are trying for, right? He starts in the ECHL, moves up to the AHL, spends four seasons there, and looked, I think he looked like a competent kind of defender. You know, he's a big defender. He's I think he would be one of, if not the Leafs' biggest players, were he back on the roster today. I just like his physicality and just how safe and responsible he is as a defender. I'm going to put Philip Kroll at number two. Again, another defenseman who is still at least a year away. But what I like about Philip Kroll is, you know, again, he's a physical defender who really doesn't shy away from muscling, you know, down opposition forwards in front of the goal. But he's got 12 points in his last 10 games, right? This was always the knock on him. Great player who could make a good first pass and could play physical, but really didn't have that offensive touch. And he's starting to show that right now. Was it the question draft picks or just players in the AHL?
Players at the AHL level, whoever you're thinking.
So I think number three, I got to go with, again, he's played for the Leafs, but so we're talking NHL readiness. Alex Steeves, an insanely smart player who has really benefited from spending, you know, after he was signed, he comes over in the summer and he was kind of a guinea pig for Haley Wickenheiser when she takes over as head of development. He's looked great kind of playing as a scorer, but I think he's well aware that to play in the NHL, he's going to be kind of that bottom six player who, you know, makes a lot of smart plays. Again, a really responsible player. The Marlies, you know, the Leafs organization, but the Marlies in particular have prioritized finding players that are smart and can adapt on the fly and can, you know, understand different scenarios. So yeah, I'm kind of a big Alex Steeves backer. I mean, he played in the NHL after just 12 games. But he scored the overtime winner for the Marlies on the weekend. And so those other two players I mentioned as well, SDA and Abramov, I think they're just learning the ropes. But I think if you had to ask me at the end of the season to power rank them, I think they'd be a lot higher because of the minutes they're getting right now.
Well, Josh, really appreciate you joining us. And you know, we always enjoy the insight from the Marlies. We don't talk Marlies enough, but you're one of the best out there. And for anybody who enjoyed this conversation, go and read his article that he just put out, because honestly, it was really fascinating. So I really appreciate you taking the time to join us today, Josh.
Oh, I appreciate that. Thanks so much, guys.
All right. There he goes, Joshua Cloak of The Athletic. Did you also see Josh Hosang score
yes.
a goal this week and hit the
we
robot
haven't even talked
for
about
the Marlies.
It.
Oh my God! Can you do the robot? I cannot. But
no, but he hit it well too.
He did. You know, the arm got the dangling there a little bit. It was pretty good. It was pretty good. And like okay. they're hot right now. They've won like six games in a row. They've won seven of eight games since returning from. Remember they had that big COVID bout. They had like
the worst
like
in North American
players.
Sports.
Yeah, it was
I think
insane.
It was the
Their
worst COVID outbreak. Yeah,
yeah.
In North American sports, it's really rare what the Leafs do in terms of developing, even at the East Coast level. Like a lot of teams don't do that. They leave their East Coast team just like out there. The boys are buzzing around in the coast doing their thing. Like the Leafs really use it.
It's a three tier system. A three tier system here in Toronto, and look, they're starting to finally. You know, get guys who are working their way through. I mean, and the development is showing. They're starting to have players make an impact at the NHL level. You know what I mean? And it's all kind of starting to come to fruition here over the next couple of years. And they got some nice prospects in the pipeline as well.